Good morning and welcome to the Thursday, October 17th edition of Byers & Company. City Hall Insider, publisher of the Tribune, former mayor of Decatur, Paul Osborne joins us. We've got a lot to get to here today. Plus, we'll check in with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. It all starts now.
Byers & Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
John F. Kennedy once wrote a book called Profiles in Courage. Do you remember this? Do you remember the last time you saw it in Washington, D.C.? Because I don't. They had whatever happened yesterday at the White House, and they had a meeting. Now, these are grown human beings who are charged with the safety and prosperity of our country. And they sit in a meeting, and they scream and yell at each other. Then three of them stomp out and have a press conference in the driveway. Then the other one tweets. I'm telling you, I have just run out of people to root for in Washington, D.C., Paul. I mean, is there any leadership on display?
No. We need some adults there. It just and it gets more ridiculous every day. I mean, the dialogue, whatever there is just crazy. It is anymore. And not only that, they're always investigating, but, about legislating, it's one investigation on everything. And it's just party politics getting to the point. They're making everybody sick. They are. And certainly the rhetoric there that gets cranked up all the time. Everybody's a loser. And the other side trying to show the right way to go. I mean, they're kind of in the pit with everything else.
Yes.
It's just, as you say, there's no one to root for out there. You get to the point where, let's start over.
Yeah. I'm looking for anybody beyond party, beyond affiliation. I just want a grown-up.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's what the country really is looking for now, and that's what I don't really see being delivered. And I think those, I remember the time, and you do too, we used to have statesmen, like, Senator Percy.
And maybe behind the scenes this behavior went on. Maybe who knows, but at least
we didn't see it.
I mean, when we literally are, and I'm looking at sort of the verbatim coverage of like what happened in this private meeting, which nothing is ever private. And Steny Hoyer stood up and said, this is not useful. And so Pelosi and Hoyer left and Trump yells at them, goodbye, we'll see you at the polls. It's like, come on. And then them going out and throwing their, I don't believe any of them.
No.
Is it possible that everyone's lying? Yeah, I think they all are.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they forget what lie they didn't tell. And it gets lost in the mix. And I think that's the reason. Well, someone said to me when we were walking out of the office building, think of the great things we could do if they just lay all this aside and work together
to
accomplish
something. But that's, it used to be you would use some of this stuff in a way to get elected. I mean, now this has just become the full-time thing. This is all they do.
Yeah. And to a certain extent, it's not even about the election anymore.
No,
it's
no.
about personal dislike.
Yeah.
It is.
And we're living in this. And what I don't understand, people will ask me, I get both sides of the Trump argument in public all the time. I'll get people who go, well, I heard you this morning saying you'd vote for Mayor Pete over Trump. I would in a heartbeat. He's a grown up. And then I get people, well, you're just a Trump defender. I'm like, because they all do this. Do you think Joe Biden's kid was getting $50,000 a month because he has some sort of expertise? This whole swamp, to use a Trump term, they're all corrupt up to their eyeballs.
Yeah, and I think the public's beginning to realize that and sick of it all.
Yeah.
I'm
also tired of the childish behavior of the president who could set the tone and actually just get to work. Now, I get why he feels like they're just going to investigate him no matter what, and there's some I understand that sentiment, but he acts like an 8-year-old kid. You can't applaud that behavior.
Yeah, well, and I mentioned too, and we also talked about this a few weeks ago when a lady tried to get John McCain to say bad things about President Obama.
Yeah,
and he stopped her and he said, "No, ma'am. He's a decent fellow. We just disagree on some issues. That's the way it used to be.
It used to be
anymore.
Or at least that
he's
was
a loser.
Yeah, at least that was the appearance of how it used to be. I don't know. I'm tired of all of this.
At least that's what we heard and that's what we saw.
Yeah.
And that perception now." of, you know, these are good guys working for our benefit. It's,
no.
It's blown away.
No. And then it also inspires other people to do this in their day-to-day lives, and why you see all of the rampant hatred on Facebook, and you're just, you know, it's all like, I'm going to wake up every day looking to be offended, and I'm going to look up every day and be outraged, and I'm going to, yo, you're all wrong, you're all right. It's all these people do, and I don't think it's the vast majority of Americans. I really don't believe that, because I think maybe if I did believe that, I'd just quit. Because there's nothing left to do, because we've just all gone to hell in a handbasket.
Well, I think also the American people deserve a lot better than what they're getting. And the American people overall aren't that way.
Yeah.
And so in that sense, they don't represent us. They don't represent our values and who we are.
Yeah, because I don't see that the rest of my day.
No, I don't.
You know, I go to meetings, I go to things, I go to do whatever. I just don't see that. Went to HSHS St. Mary's Hospital last night. There were, you know, probably a couple hundred people there for the Weisman Women's Center open house. I mean, nobody was arguing. Nobody was fighting. They're all saying, well, this is really incredible.
Yeah. And I think that's why, you know, the majority of Americans now are saying, leave us alone. I don't want to hear this
stop.
Anymore.
Stop. Just stop.
We don't need that.
I want a grown-up. Just give me a grown-up. All right. Let's get to local stuff. I have heard this morning that the teacher's assistants are going to go on strike on the 29th of October, which is a couple of weeks from now. And I don't know if that's been officially announced or not, but I guess we just did. Chicago teachers are on strike as we speak. Kids are not going to school. This has been I have found over the years, and I don't know about you, what the feedback is like. People in education in general, and I'm going to say in general, administrators, teachers, assistants, they're not very good with criticism at all. You know, and I don't know if it's you spend your whole life in front of like 25, you know, 10-year-olds and you're the boss. They don't like to be questioned. These people find this. And we had a teacher strike, you know, it's been, what, 13, 14 years ago in District 61. No one wins in this thing.
No.
In a strike.
No. And I think the education's a noble profession. There's no question about it.
But it's not any more noble than, I mean, I think sometimes the sentiment is it's the noblest of professions. And I get that if that's your passion, that's your calling, fantastic. But you're not the only one that works hard. There are a lot of other people that do and take pride in their job as well.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think the impact they have probably on children's a little bit different maybe than some other jobs.
It is, but because of their unions, that's not always a positive thing, because sometimes there's bad impact on kids.
Yeah, I think we also need to look at the changing face of America. And this kind of, and when you look at it and say, this is kind of the way it used to be. Aren't we emerging from this to do some things better and negotiate and...
Here's the only thing that I'll say about this, and people have said all kinds of spread, all kinds of, I've never, ever once on this program or privately said that these teachers' assistants don't have any value. What I have said over and over again is that quit using kids as your cover, because that's not what you're striking over. You're striking over health insurance costs. So quit doing that. We love our kids unconditionally. There are conditions. This is one, clearly, that you are willing to use to walk off the job. And I get it. But quit the unions in particular, which have endorsed every Democratic candidate from the history of time, which gave you the Affordable Health Care Act, which caused everybody's health insurance to go up. You can't have this every way. And if you're walking off the job because your health care insurance costs have gone up, I get it, but so is everyone else's. And most of us aren't walking off our job. Just don't bring the kids into it.
Yeah, I think the fact that, I don't know, has anyone ever come in here to talk
about that side? Oh, no, we've never even responded.
Well, and that works against them, I think, and because I think you need to go everywhere and explain your position. Maybe there's some things people don't quite understand about it, and when you hear just one side, you become suspicious of maybe the motivation and suspicious of what's really the truth.
Have you heard from them?
No.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're clearly not... They've got a reporter that they leak everything to at the Herald and Review, and they've had their third, like, sort of protest in 3 weeks. And that's fine. And maybe you end up getting what you want. I don't know. I don't know what's right or wrong about the strategy. But just you cannot say when you're walking off the job that we love these kids unconditionally, because you don't. Walking off the job over health insurance costs is a condition.
Yeah, yeah, it is. And I think you need... And this is just me, and of course, been in the media business like forever. you know, you need to get your story out in a meaningful way. Show that you're not afraid to go anywhere and talk to anyone about this and explain your position and be questioned about it.
Yeah. I will tell you when the teacher strike happened here in Decatur, those whatever that was, Alita Graham was the president of the teachers union. And I'll give you all this. We asked and asked and asked. She would not come on the show. But when she asked me to come down and meet with a group of their people, we met right over here where the Avon is in the building over here, where the Convention and Visitor Bureau. I'll never forget this. I went down into the basement. I was supposed to meet with her and a handful of her advisors or the people that were there. I showed up. There were like 25 of them in a semicircle, and me like the kid getting grounded or sent to the principal's office in a chair. It did not go well. These people were the rudest people I've ever encountered my entire life. And I don't know what they thought I was going to do, wilt or whatever, but that didn't happen. And I remember two things coming away from that day is that she wasn't honest in her brokerage of that. You know, she was completely dishonest. And when I got back outside, it had snowed like 6 inches. And I remember like she's like, how is my entire car covered? I've been in there a long time, but never would come on the show.
Yeah, the season changed while you were in there.
Literally. But you can't do this if you don't have any good faith. And I would tell this to the rank and file, the people that get mad at me and write all this stuff, that's okay. If you want to criticize me, you've got bad leadership because they're not preparing the public and the media for you walking out on your job.
Well, and that's the secret. That's the secret of success for this. You know, the public has to see and be able to see clearly why you're doing this.
Yep.
And as long as they just hear one side and that side is never challenged publicly, you know, then the public.
And once again, I will state, more than welcome to have all the time you want on this program. So whatever she's telling you, it isn't true. I'm telling you right now, more than welcome.
Yeah.
We'll see if that is.
Well, that's an invitation, a strong invitation.
And we have made them personally as well. I just think a strike, you know, there are a lot of people outside of the unions involved in District 61, outside in, people that aren't getting paid a dime, that are working really hard to do what's best for this school district. And I just feel like sometimes the head of these unions, not the rank and file, the person in the classroom, the head, it's like they just don't care. It is just what's in it for us and only that thought process.
Well, yeah, and it's value. And as you mentioned, is your job any more valuable, any more impactful?
Yeah, don't come at me with that. I get it's a noble profession. Yeah. But I think the guy that shows up and does my wiring in my house is a noble profession. I mean, I think the guy who collects my garbage is a noble profession. I think the people, you know, being a police officer, which we'll get into, is a noble profession. Yeah, I get it. You have the incredible impact on kids' lives if you're a good teacher. But the problem with that is those unions protect bad teachers, too.
Well, I think you also have to realize, and you mentioned this earlier, that when you're in the classroom, you rule that classroom.
Yep.
And, you know, how many kids are willing to challenge something a teacher says or a teacher's assistant says? I mean, you have the floor. There is no other side. It's your side.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes that plays out then in the public.
I think it does, too. I didn't deal with it well at 15, and I don't even deal with it well at 53. So you're more than welcome to come in and have your side out there. I just think if you're going to walk off the job, that's certainly your right. That union's there to represent you. That's fine. I just don't want to see signs about how much you care about the kids, because this isn't about the kids. This is about your health insurance costs.
Well, I think also it seems like when things like this happen, everybody is so sensitive, like whatever you say for or against, they perceive it as being against what you're doing. I get that at the paper all the time. Someone writing and say, well, I saw that editorial cartoon. You know, I know who you're for now. It's just like it's a syndicated cartoon. You know, it's just people are so sensitive that they react in a way that maybe they're not really thinking clearly, like, oh, they're just trying to present both sides here.
Yeah, I'm fundamentally against walking off your job. I mean, if you're not happy doing what you do, I get that. In my world, then I'll just go do something else. And if I don't like working for the company that I work for, the company that I'm working for isn't fair to me, then I've got options. But walking off your job, it's fundamentally against the core of who I am. That doesn't mean it's the wrong thing to do, but you're doing it the wrong way. You're not getting your story out there. And countless people, maybe you should have Paula Busboom on. Well, maybe Paula Busboom should return a message and come on.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really on her now.
Yes,
not you.
Well, that's exactly right. And if you think that's not true, then you're just burying your head and you're not listening to what's actually going on. And if you truly are going to go on strike on the 29th, then you know you're going to walk out. It's going to hit hardest the special ed classes and the stuff going on there. And maybe you'll get a lot of sympathy. I don't know, but there's a lot of people whose health insurance costs have gone up over the last 10 years a lot.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people can say, wow, I never dreamed it'd ever be this high. Mm-hmm. You know, when it's free, it gets really high.
That's exactly what P.J. O'Rourke said all the way back when Hillary Clinton was going to fix this as the first lady. Said, if you think your expenses or your insurance is expensive now, wait until it's free. And that has never been that is the ultimate truth. And no, I'm not happy about it either. We now have, like a lot of people have, this impossibly high deductible where we're paying more for our insurance and there's more out-of-pocket expense. And unless you have catastrophic health problems, you're never kind of getting on the other side of that. I get why you're not happy about it. I understand that. But everybody's had to deal with that.
Yeah. Well, the only thing I can say is, you get information out any way you can.
Yeah.
And wherever you're invited, jump at the chance to go and explain your position.
Yeah, and bring three people. I mean, if you're afraid to do it, we got four other microphones. Bring three people with you, for crying out loud.
Yeah. No, that would be the thing to do. If you won't go on and explain your position, then why not?
No, but then you get lectured, well, you don't know the other side. Well, okay, then let's do something about that.
Yeah.
I'm just tired of the empty threats. And if you are walking off your job, all right, maybe you get what you want. I don't know. It seems like District 61 has been able to negotiate all of the other contracts, or at least in good faith with the ones that are not. They seem to be – the teachers ratified their agreement.
Yeah. Well, it just seems to me that you want as much PR out as you can. And the strike is the last resort. But we've told our story. Nobody listens. Nobody cares. Well, tell your story first, I think, and then make that decision.
Yep.
That would be the only advice I would have.
And by the way, a meme isn't going to do that.
Yeah.
Just saying. Okay. All right, we got to talk cops when we get back here, and civilian cops. This has been a hot button topic as I've moved in and out of the community over the last month or so, going to different things. Heard a lot about this. City manager's not happy with my take on this and thinks I'm just buying the union's Kool-Aid. Isn't that funny how we just segue from that one argument to this one?
To this one.
This is when you have your own opinion about things. This is what happens. You can't put me in a box, ladies and gentlemen. Try as you might. We'll take a break. Here's Lindsay Romano with your WSOY three-day forecast.
Sunny skies and highs near 57 degrees tonight. Clear, lows around 38. For your Friday, mostly sunny, highs near 65. And Saturday, 30% chance of showers, increasing clouds, and highs near 66 degrees. It is 38 degrees in downtown Decatur.
The Bob Brady Auto Group, Newhoff Media, and Limitless Decatur and Macon County are extending the fun with the Charlie 10, featuring 10 must-do events this fall in September and October.
The Charlie 10 rolls on, brought to you by the Bob Brady Auto Group, home of the Charlie Deal. Fall means fantastic financing at Bob Brady Jeep. Right now, you can get 60 months free financing on a brand new 2019 Jeep Cherokee. Plus, get up to $1,000 bonus cash back. See Bob Brady for cash allowance and finance details. Don't miss the Charlie Deal. The Bob Brady Auto Group, just off I-72 at exits 141 and 144. At the Bob Brady Auto Group, we're dealing.
Here's the next Charlie 10 event. It's Boo at the Zoo on Friday, October 25th. Be sure to check out the full list of Charlie 10 events on nowdecatur.com. Driven by the Bob Brady Auto Group, home of the one and only Charlie Deal.
Rock out this Halloween at the Devon Lakeshore Amphitheater's Halloween Bash on Saturday, October 26th. This adults-only party starts at 7 p.m. with a performance by the River Bottom Nightmare Band, plus contests, giveaways, and prizes. Dress up in a costume for your chance to win a pair of season tickets to the Devon for the 2020 season. Tickets are on sale now at devonamphitheater.com for $7, or you can get them at the door for $10. The Devon Halloween Bash, brought to you by Newhoff Media of Decatur and the Decatur Park District.
Milliken and Richland have over 180 degrees. 180 degrees ain't enough to bake a pizza, but it's enough to get you a slice of the pie. You can do it! Limitless Decatur. Know it! More bang for your buck. Decatur is the most affordable housing market in the country. That's more money for pillows, baby. Ha ha! Limitless Decatur. Know it!
You're listening to Buyers and Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back here on a Thursday, good morning and welcome. We're live in the Palatial Studios in downtown Decatur. Paul Osborne, the City Hall Insider, publisher of the Decatur Tribune, former mayor of Decatur, twice elected by the people, by a vast majority. Alita Graham's union didn't endorse you. That was the only one, right?
Yeah, yeah, when I was running for mayor, and she indicated that they were in negotiations, and Dave Butts, one of my opponents, was on the school board, so...
What did that have to do with anything?
I do not know.
Shady. Talent.
I don't know.
Shady. That's, I guess, where people learn. I don't know. Good faith negotiations seem hard to come by these days. We'll see. Once again, learning this morning that the Teachers Assistance Union will strike at District 61 on October 29th. Not all the details out yet, but that will be forthcoming information this morning as we move ahead. We have Paul in. We don't have time now before the bottom of the hour to get into the whole community policing thing, but I want to talk about that with you. I think there's, man, there are just areas where I trust the people in charge of those areas. I think we've had some pretty good police chiefs over the years in Decatur. I was a big Todd Walker fan, huge Todd Walker fan.
Yeah.
I'm a big Jim Getz fan. I was not a fan of the guy before Jim Getz. And you know, but when you get the right person in, I mean, as a city councilman, as a mayor, I mean, I know that there are several that over the years have questioned this, Faber and David Horn. You know, it's like, I don't know what being an ambulance chaser or a bird whisperer, you know, like where you get qualified to talk about law enforcement, you know, but that's been the, sort of the contention over the last couple of years, right? I mean, like, we know more than the police do. We've got a pretty good police department.
We do, and we always have. And I think Todd Walker certainly came up to the ranks, and I can think of several that really did their job, and I always had a lot of confidence in them.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I've always been a strong supporter.
I'll never forget. This is the kind of silliness we're talking about, though. Todd Walker, who had kind of a buzz cut, like a military hairstyle, that Betsy Stockard, as a council member, told him one time that looked racist, you know, because he had this like KKK haircut. It's like, are you kidding me? This is a guy who's been putting his life on the line for 30 years, and this is what you're bringing? I mean, this is the problem with elected officials sometimes, and not understanding what people do. And I want to get into this because I think the city manager's made a mistake here. I think the council's made a mistake here on this community policing, these citizen police officers. We'll get into that with Paul Osborne after Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports, which is after our stories and news. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere.
This is Shiler with your stories now, brought to you by Cape Air. HSHS St. Mary's Hospital welcomed the public to see the new Weisman Women's Center. The new Weisman Women's Center will house all women's imaging services at HSHS St. Mary's Hospital, with a space designed specifically for women and their needs. The center was made possible by a gift from Bob and Kathy Weisman, and Kathy Weisman says the HSHS was a natural choice for the family.
We wanted to give something back to the Decatur community, and St. Mary's is near and dear to our heart.
The center will include 3D mammography, prenatal ultrasound, recovery rooms, and more. Fighting Illini head basketball coach Brad Underwood makes his return to Decatur tonight during a special edition of Sport Talk with Mark Tupper and Tim Kaine. And if you have won tickets to the event and haven't picked them up at Newhoff Studios, you have until 5 p.m. this evening. The event will be held at 6 p.m. at the Decatur Conference Center and Hotel, presented by Miller Lite and Newhoff Media of Decatur. Illini fans that want to attend the event must have a ticket to enter. For these stories, podcasts, and videos, go to nowdecatur.com.
News. I'm Chris Foster.
This is a critical moment in our country's history.
One of the more powerful members of Congress, Maryland Democrat Elijah Cummings, died early this morning of complications from various health problems, according to his office. He was 68 years old. Democrats got up and left a meeting with President Trump about Syria, accusing the president of insulting House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
They walked out of the meeting and returned to the Capitol, where Pelosi spoke to reporters.
I think now we have to pray for his health.
because this was a very serious meltdown on the part of the president.
President Trump claims it was Pelosi who had the meltdown. He tweeted a photo of her standing up in the cabinet room during the confrontation. The meeting happened shortly after the House voted 354-60 to rebuke the president's decision to withdraw troops from Syria.
Fox's Rachel Sutherland in D.C. Vice President Pence and Secretary of State Pompeo are in Turkey now to push for a ceasefire in Syria. America's listening to Fox News.
What is there to do in Macon County? As a young professional, that's a question I am often asked. This is Jay Owens, District Lead Talent Professional for Decatur Public Schools. I'm excited to share that if you're new to town or just looking for professional connections, you need to be a part of NextGen. NextGen is a young professionals group right here in Macon County, sponsored by the Decatur Park District and the Community Foundation of Macon County. NextGen offers the experience that you've been looking for. Here at NextGen, you'll have access to monthly socials among an elite group of peers, the opportunity to experience VIP behind-the-scenes activities at exclusive landmark facilities, the secrets to success from Decatur's most successful players, and last but not least, have the chance to be a part of an organic philanthropic group that fits you and your schedule. If you're looking for an active young professional group, NextGen is for you. Membership is free, and you can sign up by visiting decaturparks.org and clicking on the NextGen tab. NextGen members are driven and motivated professionals. We are the next generation of leaders in Macon County. Join us.
Here is Lindsay Romano with your WSOY three-day forecast.
Sunny skies today and highs near 57 degrees. Tonight, clear and lows around 38. For your Friday, mostly sunny, highs near 65. Saturday, 30% chance of showers, increasing clouds and highs near 66 degrees. It is 38 degrees currently in downtown Decatur.
Tougher on Sports on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back with the City Hall Insider in just a couple of minutes. Right now it's time for Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. All right, let's start with Brad Underwood.
You know, this time right here, Brian, mid-October is when the sports world sort of converges on this busy intersection with college football and the NFL flying along at full speed, and with Major League Baseball playing its most exciting games of the year, and the NHL is already underway, and the NBA soon will follow, and warming up in the bullpen is college basketball. And, it's not true that all basketball fans like all different kinds of basketball. A lot of NBA fans don't care for college hoops, and a lot of college basketball fans don't really like the NBA. I like them both, but I love college basketball, and I love the rivalries and the arenas and the goofy stuff that the student sections do. I like watching the coaches and the players, and of course the whole 4-month journey to March Madness and the NCAA tournament. I like the pageantry and the pep bands, all that stuff. And so tonight I will really, really enjoy having University of Illinois head men's basketball coach Brad Underwood and assistant coach Jeff Alexander in Decatur at the Decatur Conference Center and Hotel, spending a couple of hours with us and a few hundred of our listeners to talk about an exciting season that is fast approaching. Illinois' regular season opener is November 5th. I believe that's less than 3 weeks away. Fans never have an opportunity to sit down in a fairly intimate setting and spend 2 hours with an Illini head coach. So if you are there tonight, you will have a chance to ask Brad your question and to hear what he has to say about working daily with the likes of Io DeSumo and Georgie Bishanishvili and Trent Frazier and Kofi Coburn. And among those in the crowd tonight will be coaches and players representing Eisenhower, MacArthur, LSA, St. Teresa, Central A&M, and Millikan basketball teams, and we are thrilled about that. We're going to have a great time. We're excited to be out at the Decatur Conference Center and Hotel. Thank you so much to Steve Horvey for helping make that happen. Thanks to a number of people at Neuhoff Media who have worked hard to pull this together in a hurry, and thanks to our sponsors like our friends from Miller Lite. We will be there from 6 to 8 p.m. The doors open at 5. If you cannot come, we will broadcast the activities out there on WSOY from 6 to 8, but come on out. I mean, even if you didn't get a ticket, I would say come on out. Maybe we can squeeze you in. We certainly will try to accommodate as many as we can. We're just excited for the opportunity to visit with Brad tonight, and he's excited to talk about what he thinks is the best team that's going to Illinois will have had in a number of years.
All right, Mark, do you remember the first year you did this?
Oh, I do.
And what year would that been?
1990, at this place, I'm going to call it the Holiday Inn.
Yeah.
And it was for a bumper crowd of, it must have been 30 people.
Over the years. It's always fun.
On folding chairs with Lou and Mary Henson. Yep.
There you have it. All right. On the other side of the break, we'll do baseball with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports.
Matt Beavers, President and CEO of First National Bank of Decatur, the Quality Bank, serving communities of Pena, Assumption, Taylorville, Blue Mound, and now Decatur. We focus on community banking with small-town service. Visit our branch located at 1688 South Baltimore Road for hometown local service you just can't get with large regional banks. Come out and speak with myself or Doug DeHorty. First National Bank of Decatur is back and provides only the best customer service you can find. Visit our website, fnbpena.com.
Member FDIC.
Back here with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. All right, baseball.
No postseason baseball last night, thanks to a nasty weather forecast for New York City. So game four of the American League Championship Series has been shifted to tonight. 7:08 first pitch. The Houston Astros lead this series 2-1. Really good series. And with the postponement, teams have an opportunity to adjust their pitching plans. The Yankees will now go with Masahiro Tanaka, and the Astros will counter with Zach Greinke. Both starters will be able to go on regular rest. The winner of this series will, of course, face the Washington Nationals in the World Series. Game one of the World Series will be next Tuesday, October 22nd, in the American League City. Joe Maddon was not unemployed for long. He's the new manager for the Angels, a team he has been with before. He'll have a positive impact there. I would really root for him to get some postseason success for Mike Trout. They need to get their pitching straightened out. You know, the Albert Pujols deal is no longer a big issue for them. He has 2 years left. He's not anything like what he was in his prime with the Cardinals, but he's also not exactly a schlub. He hit 23 home runs and drove in 93 runs this past season, and there's a place for that. And Brian, can you believe it that it was 30 years ago that the World Series was literally shaken when Al Michaels, who was announcing for ABC just as their broadcast was beginning, said, "I'll tell you what, we're having an earthquake." And they were in San Francisco for Game 3, and although Al Michaels treated it initially with a little bit of humor, it was quickly a scary and serious event and ended up killing 63 people in the Bay Area, injured about 4,000, and postponed the World Series for 10 days. So last night's postponement due to rain, not a big deal. A 10-day World Series postponement due to an earthquake, that was a very big deal, and I can't believe it was 30 years ago.
30
that
years.
Seemed like that long ago.
Wow. I think there's a great 30 for 30 about that particular thing as well. Mark, have a great day. We'll see you tonight at 5 o'clock. Doors open. Program goes on the air at 6. This is a lot of fun. And as I said, Lindsay, we have tickets available at the front desk. We got 100 more.
Yeah.
Just because of the demand. And we've been giving away every day here and on the Eric Lee Show and Sport Talk. But if you show up this morning, we open up at 8 o'clock, first come, first serve. I have no idea how long they'll last. But the tickets are free. You just have to have a ticket. And people have asked, Mark used the word intimate. That's exactly what it is. Get a chance to get an autograph, get a picture. You know, if you open it up, like put 1,000 people in there, you don't get that opportunity. We've done this like all the way back to Lou Henson and all of the subsequent Illini coaches. They've all been great. Bill Self, Lon Kruger, Bruce Weber, John Gross, now Brad Underwood. And you will be able to see that tonight at the Decatur Conference Center and Hotel, courtesy of Miller Lite and all the rest of our great sponsors. We get back on the other side of the break. I did see this. I guess it was the Herald Review. See the car community liaison? Like, they got cars planned. Cars don't sound like paperwork to me.
No.
Like, why you'd have a squad car.
No.
We'll talk about the CLOs of the Decatur Police Department, City Council, City Manager, with the former mayor of Decatur and the publisher of the Decatur Tribune, Paul Osborne. Time now for the Marquee Coffee Break. Fresh roasting coffee locally in Decatur for over 30 years. Marquee Coffee, the official drink of choice for discerning coffee drinkers everywhere. The magic is in their beans.
Serving as your one-stop shop for all things active, the Decatur Indoor Sports Center offers you the support you need to reach your goals. Hi, I'm Tracy Hewitt, fitness supervisor at the DISC. I've been on the fitness scene for over 20 years, and I'm here to tell you that the DISC is the place to be. Each day, our members are discovering how they can change their lives, one workout, pickleball game, or group fitness class at a time. Ready to reach your fitness goals? Call us at the Decatur Indoor Sports Center to book your free tour and consultation today.
The Lincoln Lounge has it all. Visit them on Facebook for updates or stop in the Lincoln Lounge today and check out their all-new menu with weekly features like a yummy fresh fruit summer salad with Caribbean mango vinaigrette dressing. Or the Lincoln Lounge has an all-new tenderloin, hand-breaded or grilled. Also, new sides like breaded portobello mushroom fries and fresh fruit cups. The Lincoln Lounge really does have it all. Great drinks, fresh food, and fun since 1933.
Hoppa!
Decatur Memorial Hospital continues to empower people to live better lives. And in a special two-part video series, DMH NewsLink host Michaela Hunt sits down with DMH nurse and diabetes educator Vicki Wakeland and clinical dietitian James Sheridan about the new technology and best practices for diabetes monitoring. Watch the videos now at nowdecatur.com or the Now Decatur Facebook page. DMH NewsLink, your trusted source for the latest in healthcare news. Join Miller Lite and Newhoff Media of Decatur for a special edition of Sport Talk with Mark Tupper and Tim Kaine and special guest Fighting Illini head basketball coach Brad Underwood Thursday, October 17th at the Decatur Conference Center and Hotel. Limited tickets are available, and you can win tickets by listening to WSOY Decatur or on the NowDecatur.com social media pages. Don't miss Sport Talk with guest Brad Underwood Thursday, October 17th at 6 p.m. at the Decatur Conference Center and Hotel. Thanks to Miller Lite and Newhoff Media of Decatur. You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning and welcome. We're back here on a Thursday. That means the City Hall insider, Paul Osborne. I will be consistent in this. You'll see me go from anti-union to pro-union in a heartbeat. But I'm not taking the union side for the Decatur Police Department. I haven't talked to the union. I don't know. I know they filed a grievance that mentioned this show, by the way. It was filed with the Illinois Labor Relations Board. And the quote in here was, since then, Wrighton has made public comments during a city council meeting and on talk radio to the effects that he plans on saving the city money by taking work currently performed by members of the bargaining unit and hiring new non-union employees to do it. That was the basis of the complaint filed with the Illinois Labor Relations Board. Now, I don't know where that will go. Like I said, I have not talked to the police union or union representatives. What I've talked to is a lot of police officers. And there have been some comments that were FOIA'd emails through the Herald and Review. I believe our good friend Greg Spain had written to Councilman Chuck Kuhl. Councilman Chuck Kuhl had put that over to the city manager. City manager responded in a way that, I mean, as a city manager, you got to realize all this stuff's FOIA-able, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I think you have to be very circumspect about what you say, how you say it, how you write it, and because it could come back to bite you someday.
Yeah. And did you read through that language thinking sort of that that wasn't really thought of? I mean the verbiage that was used by the city manager?
Well, I think it happens a lot. You think you're corresponding, and you forget the fact that someone's going to read that. Someone else is going to read that. That may be for or against it.
Yeah. And I once again, like I said, I have not talked to the union as the union. I don't know what their stance is. But when you write it off by saying, well, the union doesn't care about public safety, and the union doesn't, they have a narrow agenda. How do we have as many dues-paying members as possible? I think that there's a balance that the city manager and the mayor has to sort of walk here, is that you're doing this to cut costs.
Yeah.
You're not doing this for public safety.
Well, yeah, and I think that's in understanding the role of the city manager. You expect the city manager to find ways to cut costs, particularly in a situation like this. Now, how he goes about that is the issue here. And I've also heard a lot of feedback, none of it good, about having civilians do what was formerly done by police officers and not sacrificing safety. I'm not sure very many people agree with that. And I think that's a major problem. I think not only for the city manager, but for the council that will receive pressure from that, even though that's not really something they're directly involved in.
No, but and when I say the council, I mean the mayor, because the mayor has a unique role with the city manager, even though they're only one vote. I mean, you were mayor.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
you have the relationship. You're the conduit to the council with the city manager.
Exactly right. And I know the city manager at that time, Steve Garman, and I would meet on a daily basis, one-on-one in the mayor's office. And he would explain some of the things that he would be working on and get some feedback. And so I had a pretty good idea going into council meetings, how their council members felt, but also why he was doing this.
Yeah.
And there would be times I would say, I don't think that's going to be a good idea. I don't really think I can support you on this.
Yeah.
And the city manager needs to know that.
I just reading for the Herald Review article, to free up time for those patrol officers, the community liaison officers will handle low-priority calls and sex offender registration, complete paperwork, and monitor social media. Monitoring social media is the biggest investigative tool that we have today. I don't know why you would put that to people like mall cops, but that's just me. An online posting for the job said requirements include being 21 years old, having experience in law enforcement-related occupations, additional college education, and criminal justice is preferred. They would also need a firearm owner's identification card, though Getz said they will not be armed or put in harm's way while on duty. How do you know that? If you're responding to a call, even if it's a low-level call, how do you know what that means?
Yeah, you don't know until you get there.
Right. Really. And then how do you testify in court if you're not a sworn police officer? I mean, let's just say it's a fender bender, a routine thing that turns into a thing, and you've got these people responding, and now all of a sudden you don't. I just, this isn't paperwork.
No, I think the, you know, what follows, as you indicated, there are several scenarios you can kind of throw out there. Say, you know, maybe a police officer is needed in this case. How much credibility will someone have in court?
Right. Or if you're tagging evidence. I mean, anything in the chain of what could end up in a court of law seems to me like you're walking on thin ice to have civilians doing that.
Yeah. And I think from a PR standpoint, too, and public confidence, I think when people call for the police, they want a police officer.
Yeah.
You know, and in some respects, and it's probably true. They're saying, well, I guess that doesn't count. What my problem is, you know, I get somebody that's not really a police officer.
Yeah.
And so I think this is fraught with several scenarios that you look at that it could work out not to be such a good idea, but I understand why he's doing it.
I do too, but here's the problem. When he responds to Councilman Kuhl with the following paragraph, this is where I don't think the city manager gets it. And we've had this argument between the two of us. We talked about this. I said, I don't think you ought to police on the cheap. That's the very phrase I used. He thought that was incredibly unfair. Talked about it all the way out the door. I don't know who he was talking to, but all the way out the door. And I've not talked to the union. I just wish, this is what he writes back to Councilman Kuhl, I just wish the police union would help with this analysis as a cooperative partnership rather than acting as an adversary, waiting to pounce on us at every stage, spinning their people will die if any change is made mantra. When you read that, I know he's probably not thinking about the public reading that when he's writing it.
Yeah.
But it's a little tone deaf.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think you always have to assume that whatever you write to a council person, it's going to see the light
of
day. But
the police union said, I don't know of any union members or members who have made any statements about anyone dying.
Yeah.
And I've never heard that.
No, I haven't either. But I don't know. Say, on one hand, you have the council that's kind of caught in this, and you mentioned the mayor. I would think the mayor would have advised him, given him some advice, you move ahead with this or listen to him, because normally she's the first one to know that something like this is coming down the road. And I know he's mentioned that the conversation I had with him not too long after he got here, that he was thinking about this in order to cut costs because of the pensions.
But the city council approved, and in 2018 there were 153 sworn officers. Now there's 145, and there's only going to be 146 from my understanding. That includes these community liaison officers. So you are cutting cops.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So you're not just replacing the paperwork. You're cutting cops, and the justification is the pensions are less, the salaries are less, and so there you go. I would just, I don't know. And maybe it is, Jim Getz said, maybe retirees, maybe police officers that want a, you know, second source of income, former, maybe it is. I also know that we've all had a run-in with sort of the mall cop mentality and people that are sort of drawn to this world but would never really cut it as a real police officer. I mean, we've all had that. And I, my fear is that's what you're going to get.
Well, it's going to be increasingly a controversial issue as more and more of the word gets out. Certainly that letter back to Chuck Gould did not help things. I mean, it kind of threw some kerosene on the fire, gasoline on the fire. I think you have to realize that you have to remain basically impartial from the standpoint that I'm doing this to cut costs, and this is how effective I think it will be, and leave any conversation, statement about a union or anything else.
Well, not only that. And I am certainly not suggesting that the city manager or the mayor or anyone else isn't concerned with public safety. I know they are. But this move isn't being done from a public safety motive. This move is being done to save money.
Well, and that's what they need to do. They need to save money.
Yeah, but say yeah. that.
Yeah.
It's just like these teachers' assistants are going to go on strike. Don't bring the kids into this. You're mad about your health insurance costs. I mean, just be clear about why you're doing it.
Yeah, and again, go back to, you know, that's really the city manager's job. You know, if you're losing, the city's losing money, you find ways in order to make up that difference. And this is apparently one of the ways.
If we should have 153 cops, and we're going to end up with 141 or 44 or whatever that number is, there are a lot fewer cops.
Yeah, yeah.
And having paper pushers isn't making me any safer.
Well, a lot fewer than the council said. What we want to have.
And that what we had in 2018.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you can't deny that fact. It is. You're going to have fewer police officers.
And Jim Getz is already talking about pulling investigators off their jobs and putting them on patrol. So, I mean, you're if it's just budget, I get it. Make that argument. Make that case. Okay. But quit conflicting the two that public safety is the top priority. It seems to me the top priority is saving costs in pensions and saving costs in salaries.
Yeah, and I think also that probably the public safety has to be included in there to reassure the public to say, well, you're not going to suffer anything on public safety. It might increase response time, or it will. So you've got to throw that in there to make your argument, if you're the city manager or someone who supports that position.
But I don't know how you increase response time by going from 153 to 145 or 42 or 41, I mean, you're not going to increase response time.
No, and that's the other side of the issue.
Or decrease, I should say, yeah.
That's the other side of the issue that you're talking about. So I, you know, you look at this and say, you start messing around with the police department itself. I certainly have always had high respect for, as we talked earlier, for those who serve us in public safety in the police department. And you start drawing some lines here and saying we're going to do it a different way. You start wondering, well, how far is this really going to go?
Yeah.
Will they start doing more and more of the police work?
No. And what does that look like in a court of law? What does that look like in chain of command? What does that look like for, you know, any number of scenarios? I mean, I really do think I get that everyone is looking at ways to cut costs. And everyone, our own company, justifies it and tries to put some spin on it, when I just wish everybody would just be honest about why they're doing it.
Yeah, that's what we've talked about all morning.
Yeah, just be. But you'll have this guy. I mean, I do it internally here, and you go, come on, quit spinning this to me. You just want to save money.
Yeah, and that's usually, you know, either make money or spend money.
Yeah.
Save money. Yeah, those are the three arguments. And but I
just think there's, if you're going to cut, that's one of the last places I would cut.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe when he presents this again in the cool light of day, they'll say, we've gone everywhere else. There's nowhere else to cut. So I don't know. I don't know how desperate it is. But
I just think when I call 911, I want to be able to know that help is on the way. When something tragic happens or there's crime or there's whatever, you want to – I mean, if a tree's overgrown in a park – Or we have something, I mean, you know, that's stuff that no one dies over.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think the confidence of the Decatur, the people that I know in Decatur have confidence that if they need a police officer,
yeah.
a police officer will be there.
And I'm sorry, their pensions, I mean, what you mean what we promised them when they put their life on the line every day, that this is now somehow an obligation you don't want to fulfill because it costs more? I mean, come on.
Well, it's like we talked earlier. This job is not the same as every other job. You lay your life on the line, you know, every time
every
you go to work.
Every day.
That's right.
All right. Once again, I'm not spouting the union's Kool-Aid. I haven't talked to the union. I've talked to the rank and file. That's what. And if you know me and you listen to the show at all, I don't care about the union. I mean, they got their own job to do, and that's fine. You know, and it is self-interest. I mean, that's what they do, and that's their role. I'm talking to cops, the people that go out every single day, put that bulletproof vest on, get in that car, and 2 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I mean, they're out there doing one of the toughest jobs on the planet. I mean, and over the last 5 years, has there been a tougher job in this country than being the police? Not only do you have to worry about the day-to-day, life-threatening, possibly life-ending scenarios, but you've just been spit on and spit on and spit on by this country in this unbelievably horrible way. I'm not going to begrudge you your pension or your salary.
Yeah, I would agree.
All right. Yeah. We'll take a quick break, back with more. Here's Lindsay Romano with your three-day forecast.
Today we've got sunny skies, highs near 57 degrees. Tonight, clear, lows around 38. Friday, mostly sunny, highs near 65. And Saturday, 30% chance of showers, highs near 66. It is 39 degrees currently in downtown Decatur.
The HSHS St. Mary's Hospital Cancer Care Center is fighting back against breast cancer during the month of October by raising awareness during the annual Real Men Wear Pink campaign. By partnering with local high school sports teams, the Real Men Wear Pink campaign raises awareness and encourages early screening for all women. And you can support the cause by talking with the women in your life about how early detection of breast cancer can save lives. Think pink all fall during HSHS St. Mary's Hospital's Real Men Wear Pink campaign.
If you have never been to spring training, you don't know what you're missing. Escape with the Cardinals to warm sunshine and blue skies in Jupiter, Florida on your next Cardinals vacation. Each package includes hotel accommodations, rental car, great seats at the games, and an exclusive post-game dinner with select Cardinals players and broadcasters. For information and for reservations, go to cardinals.com/vacations or call 1-800-892-7687.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
I know this is Journey, and everybody got excited about it at the Devon Amphitheater. I just think Caddyshack when I hear this song. Good morning and welcome. Paul Osborne, the City Hall Insider, in the studios. You can check out the DecaturTribune.com. You got a great story about semi-truck traffic we don't have time to get to, but I would encourage people to go read it. I've noticed a lot more of that in downtown. I don't know if they're just not enforcing or what, but you write about it extensively. You should check DecaturTribune.com out because Paul updates several times a week, and it's always great stuff. Paul, as always.
Yeah.
The hour flies by.
It does. I enjoy it.
Isn't it fun?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff. Because we know everything. We have the answers to everything.
Well, if I don't, I ask you.
There you have it. If you missed any of the City Hall Insider podcast presented by Jerger Pediatric Dentistry, where beautiful smiles begin, and you can get that at nowdecatur.com. We'll be back after stories and news.
No matter where you are, we're there. WSOY Decatur, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
This is Shiler with your stories now, brought to you by Cape Air. Feed the Farmers is a program that provides meals for farmers during the harvest season. The Macon County Farm Bureau, in conjunction with our own 95Q, to give back to the ones who give the most to us. Executive Vice President of the Macon County Farm.